This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Panthers fans, time for Panthers talk here now. It's the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Kevin Rogers with you. As the Panthers take on the Buffalo Sabres coming up this afternoon at 1 o'clock in Buffalo, continuing their road swing, heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Have a couple games to review from the week as we bring on the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans. He is in Buffalo as we speak. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Kevin. We got some, we had some snow flurries here in Buffalo. Looks like those have subsided. But we're excited for this one today, Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres, and for the Panthers and the Sabres, third matchup of the season. Panthers looking to make it back-to-back wins here. They come in having won 6 out of 8, and, the Panthers in game 3 here of a 4-game road swing. They'll wrap up the trip in Pittsburgh tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and then be back at the BB&T Center Tuesday at 7. Quick note on that, you can roar into 2020 with the Florida Panthers January 4-game pack. A 4-game homestand starts up on Tuesday. Starting at $20 a game, you'll get a ticket to all the January home games and a one-of-a-kind Panthers glass champagne flute to ring in the new year. For more information, go to floridapanthers.com or call 954-835-PUCK. And, we are into the new year, just a few days into the new year, Kevin. So we should say this is the Happy New Year edition of the Panthers Insider Show. So Happy New Year to everybody tuned in out there. And a Happy New Year to you, Kevin.
Happy New Year to you, Doug. I talked to you the other night for Ottawa, so we didn't say it on the air, but at least now we can say it. Happy 2020 to everyone. And we'll get to the Ottawa highlights in just a moment, Doug. But a good way to finish off 2019 as the Panthers played a pair of games at home, the Red Wings last Saturday and the Canadiens last Sunday. And the Panthers hosting Detroit last Saturday, a Red Wings team that has struggled, to say the least, this season. Just 9 wins so far on the campaign. The Panthers would take an early 1-0 lead on an Evgeny Dadonov power play goal in the first period. The Red Wings, in fact, though, Doug, would score 3 unanswered goals to make it 3-1, but it was all Panthers from there. Brett Connolly, power play goal, his 15th, and then Mike Hoffman tied it up at 3 later in the third, followed by 9 seconds later, Dominic Toninato with his 4th of the season. So the thought, I guess let's go back to at least your perspective, Doug, when the Panthers were down 3-1. We've seen the Panthers come back this season, but a bit of a hole here against a Detroit team that we know is desperate for a win.
And the Panthers, like you said, that was a back-and-forth game, but the Panthers have the ability to score goals in bunches. They've shown that time and time again this season. They have the ability to come back, and that game is a common theme, kind of what we've seen over the course of the week here. The Panthers getting production from up and down the lineup. You've already named a lot of guys. Dominic Toninato, another big goal, seems to have a knack for getting those big goals at big times. Evgeny Dadonov, a power play goal in that game, and that's going to be a theme as we continue along through the week. And Chris Drieger in net in that one made 35 saves, and that was a big game for the Panthers to come back and get a win in. So, we haven't finished talking about it here yet. Kevin, you're still going through the scoring summary, but it was a back-and-forth game and one that the Panthers had to have and one that they were able to get the 2 points in.
Yeah, and the Panthers added another goal in the third, Anton Stralman, his 4th, before the Red Wings scored later on to make it a 5-4 game. But the Panthers, though, finish off with the win, and they're able to knock off Detroit in the first game post-Christmas break. And like you mentioned, a big game in net for Chris Drieger, in spite of allowing the 4 goals, still made 35 saves. So he's able to pick up the win on the front end of the back-to-back and the Panthers, before we get to the Montreal game, Doug, obviously, you know, we talked about it last Saturday, a game they couldn't afford to slip up in. That, you know, we talk about every game's important, every 2 points are important, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to take it for granted coming out slow out of the break against a Detroit team, because the Panthers right now, they're in a tough race for not only the wild card, but also either second or third in the Atlantic.
Every point so important, and again, winning those games and building that separation even more between you and the teams below you is so important. And the Panthers were able to pick up the 2 points against Detroit, and you know, like we said there, a lot of big things that came out of that game as the Panthers continue to get production up and down the lineup. And another big reason you want to get the 2 points in that game is because you had a tough game coming up one night later, a huge game in the standings against the Montreal Canadiens.
Absolutely, and this was a huge game for Jonathan Huberdeau. We'll get to him in just a moment, but the Panthers with Sergei Bobrovsky in net, Carey Price once again in net for Montreal after he played the night before at Tampa Bay, so you got two star goaltenders in the nets, and the Panthers would take the early lead on a Nola Chari goal, his 13th in the first period, but then it was Alexander Barkov who would give the Panthers a little bit of a cushion there in the first.
Now down to the far corner, Barkov into the far circle, Huberdeau, Matheson near circle, a shot, it's blocked, scooped up here, and now the puck's turned over in the Montreal zone, backhand in front, Barkov, and he scores, and the Panthers have taken a 2-0 lead, a turnover in the Montreal zone right onto the stick of Barkov, and the Panthers, an early 2-goal lead here over the Canadiens.
Barkov's 12th of the season, and what's funny, Doug, is it was a highlight reel goal, and it's not even the best goal Barkov has had against Montreal.
It was a spin-around backhand out in front, and it was a turnover by the Montreal Canadiens in their own zone. And, you know, if you're gonna turn the puck over right in front of your own net, that's probably one of the worst guys in the National Hockey League to turn it over to. You give Alexander Barkov some time without a defender around him, and he is going to find a way to score on most goaltenders. And right there, he was able to beat Carey Price for a very important goal for the Panthers.
And it gave the Panthers a 2-0 lead. Unfortunately, Montreal would score three unanswered goals. So we saw Detroit do it on Saturday night, and then Montreal do it on Sunday night to score three in a row to take the 3-2 lead early in the second period, but then the Panthers would rebound and tie things up at three with Alexander Barkov.
Panthers looking to get this thing tied up. Here's Dadonov to the offensive end, backhand in front, Huberdeau, Barkov, and he scores! Alexander Barkov, second of the game, and the Panthers have tied the game at three!
And Barkov with his second of the evening, and that would make it a 3-3 game. Jonathan Huberdeau, big game for him, as he had a lot of family and friends in the crowd to see the Montreal Canadiens, a team that he grew up watching. And for Huberdeau, it took a little bit of time, even though he assisted on the first Barkov goal and that second goal, but he wanted to get his own goal, and he would give the Panthers back the lead.
Number 19. Here's Huberdeau again, left side, takes a pass, hits in a shot, and he scores! Top shelf, Jonathan Huberdeau! And the Panthers have taken a 5-3 lead! A laser beam upstairs on Carey Price!
The diabolical performance by this top line.
We did skip ahead there. That was Huberdeau's second goal. You heard the announcement there with the Panther roar, and the Panthers were still announcing the previous Huberdeau goal. Huberdeau gave the Panthers a 4-3 lead as he was able to bank one off a Canadian skate to go in the net. And then that one, Huberdeau, kind of on a semi-breakaway, Doug, and he was able to snipe one past Carey Price. So he's able to score two goals in a 35-second span and gave the Panthers a nice 5-3 lead.
Another huge game for him, and not to get ahead of things here, but was just looking at some of the numbers, of course, and Jonathan Huberdeau, over 14 games since the month of December started, he has had multi-point games in half of those. He's had 7 multi-point games over his last 14, so he has been red hot, to say the least, and that was another big goal there for Jonathan Huberdeau, and as you mentioned, it was just a great shot, and he's been, whether night to night, whether it's setting up his teammates or putting the puck in the net. He has been producing at an unbelievable rate. He's getting closer and closer to Ole Jokinen's franchise record for points, 419. Huberto just 5 points behind him here at the moment going into this game against Buffalo today.
So Huberto with 4 points in the game. Mike Matheson would score 45 seconds into the third to make it a 6-3 Panther lead. The Canadians would put up two, but too little too late in the third as the Panthers win it 6-5. And very uncharacteristic, I guess, when you have Sergei Bobrovsky and Carey Price in net for there to be 11 goals scored, but Bobrovsky ends up getting the victory on Sunday night.
Two teams with some pretty gifted offensive players, but in that one the Panthers able to hold off the attack of the Canadians late in the game, win a couple of tight ones, and they close out the home slate for the 2019 calendar year with a couple of good victories against Atlantic Division teams on home ice. So a good way to finish the 2019 home schedule.
And the Panthers hitting the road for four, starting on New Year's Eve in Columbus against the Blue Jackets, and the Panthers falling that one 4-1, the lone Panther goal scored by Colton Sevier early in the second period. Zach Borinsky with a hat trick for Columbus as the Panthers end up losing this one. And the big story from that night, obviously, Doug, was the return of Sergei Bobrovsky to Columbus. He made 24 saves on 28 shots, but his ex-mates were up for that one, and they beat their old friend, and the Panthers lose that one.
And the Panthers, again, in that game, it wasn't for the lack of scoring chances. They threw a lot of pucks on net. They attempted a lot of shots in that game against Columbus, but the Blue Jackets were able to get the victory in that game. The Panthers started the road trip that night, so then going into the Ottawa game on Thursday, Kevin, the Panthers were looking for a response, and they were able to get it.
They were, and an Ottawa team who has been better than advertised. A lot of people thought Ottawa would be maybe the worst team in the league, and they've been very competitive. 16-19-5 entering play on Thursday night. And the Panthers would go to the power play early, and Evgeny Dadonov would give the Panthers the early advantage.
Off the near boards, Huberto out to the line. Yandel backs up, takes a look, fakes the shot, right circle, hopping back to the corner in front. The rebound, they score! Evgeny Dadonov, a power play goal, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead less than 2 minutes in.
I feel like we've seen that a lot this year, Evgeny Dadonov scoring early in these games, and it was last week with Detroit that Dadonov scored early, and once again on the power play, the Panthers are able to cash in, Doug.
The Panthers get that early power play goal from Dadonov. He's been so dangerous right out in front of the net on the power play. And you're right, Kevin, the Panthers have been this season gotten a lot of good starts like that. It seems like Evgeny Dadonov's been right in the middle of a lot of it. And they had to have a good start in that game. They were able to get one on the road against, as you mentioned, an Ottawa team that not only has been very competitive this season, but had a very good home record going into that game as well.
And the Panthers up 1-0. However, the Senators would come back with a pair of goals later in the first period to take a 2-1 lead, so the Panthers needing to come back once again. And in the second period, again, Panthers power play, Dadonov.
Hoffman out to the right point, Yandel. Looks to the top of the circle, Dadonov, high slot, looks over left circle, Huberto in front of the shot, they score, Evgeny Dadonov, his second power play goal of the game, and the Panthers have tied the game at two. Dadonov right out in front, so dangerous on the power play.
And that goal for Dadonov is second of the night, 16th of the season, second on the power play, and a big goal there would start a huge period, Doug, as that one would even things up at two.
The Panthers, as you mentioned there, they had a big second period in that game, and the Panthers going into that game led the National Hockey League with 56 second period goals. So for whatever reason, they have been able to find the back of the net with good frequency in the second period. And that game was no different back on Thursday. It was the second period when the Panthers really took charge of the game, and that tying goal from Dadonov was where it all started.
And about a minute and a half later, one of the big surprises for the Panthers, Noel Achari, was able to give the Cats the lead for good.
Across, Stillman, high slot, Stroman, side of the net, it's rolled in front, tipped home by Achari, they score! And the Panthers are back in front, it's 3-2!
And you know, Doug, this has been like over the last month or so, this explosion of goals from Noel Achari. He had the back-to-back hat tricks, but now 14 goals on the season. Just an impressive output by him.
he's blown past his previous career high, which was 10 from a couple of years back with the Boston Bruins. And one of those guys who just gets to the front of the net, and that goal right there, an example, just getting out to the front of the net and being able to jam one home, and a big goal, and he just does so much out there. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's so valuable. A lot of things that don't show up in the box score, things that, you know, like hits and block shots and face-off wins. He's so good in so many different parts of the game. Great to see him get rewarded with a lot of goal scoring here over the course of the last month, and he's just getting himself in good position, and it's paying off for him. So it's been really fun to see Nolichari, you know, get on this roll, and his previous career high was 10. No reason to think that he can't get to the 20 goal mark and beyond the way he's scoring goals.
Later in the second period, the Panthers would just pour it on to the final minute, starting with Frank Vatrano.
Up the far side, Tony Nato, long lead pass out of the zone, Dadonov man to the net. That is Vatrano in front of shot, and they score! A one-timer from Frank Vatrano. It was put on a tee by Dadonov. He put it off the post and in, and the Panthers have a 4-2 lead in the final minute of the second.
And that goal for Vatrano, his eighth at the 1908 mark, would give the Panthers a 4-2 advantage. And then just for good measure before heading to the locker room, it was Colton Sevier giving the Panthers a 3-goal advantage.
Boyle picked the pocket of Tkachuk. Puck goes to the near corner. Pesek in front of the shot. They score! Colton Sevier with 4.5 seconds to go here in the second period. And the Panthers have a 5-2 lead. Well, the Panthers all over Ottawa here in the middle frame.
And that against old friend Craig Anderson inside the Ottawa net, Doug. The 2 goals in the final minutes. You go from 3-2. You hope you hang on in the third. It's all of a sudden now feeling good about yourself, up 5-2 after two.
That goal was the one that really put the Panthers in full command. Colton Sevier there in the closing seconds of the second period. Those late period goals can be really deflating for a team to give up, especially in the situation that the Panthers have the Senators in there. The Panthers scoring for the fourth time in the second period, doing so late in the frame, and that made it 5-2. The game would end with the Panthers getting the 6-3 victory. So a big win for the Panthers there to respond from the loss to Columbus, and that'll bring them on to the game here against the Buffalo Sabres today, rather. The Panthers picking up that 6-3 win over Ottawa, and had some reaction from yesterday's practice as the Panthers prepare for the game in Buffalo today. Here's the head coach of the Panthers, Joel Quenneville, first on the win in Ottawa and then turning the page to the game in Buffalo today.
Good game, real good game. You know, we thought our second period was as good as the period we had all year long. You know, I thought in our third we did some decent things. But it was a good game across the board, had good contributions from all the lines, and like the balance in our lineup, everybody played some good enough minutes, and you know, that everybody contributed, and the power play was back on track, which was important too.
And how big was that power play in terms of really being the turning point in the hockey game, it seemed like?
Well, Daddy had kind of two really good looks in the prior game in kind of the same spot, and in the last game he buried him, so that was you know, a big difference in the game. I thought we played decent in that Columbus game with nothing to show for it, and I thought a good extension from that game, and you know, we needed those 2 points badly, and we know that it's another big game again tomorrow afternoon, so we'll let's try to keep going the same way.
You mentioned the game against the Sabres, the keys against them, a team that you've seen a couple of times this year.
Yeah, they've, you know, we tough one in here last time, and, you know, I thought that we did some decent things against them last time, but, you know, they had a good start, and we were chasing the whole game, but, you know, they're a team that you got to respect. Jack Eichel's playing as good as anybody in the league right now. You've got to be aware of him. We got to do a better job with the puck against this team. We got to get more inside, like we've talked about the last couple of games. I thought we did a better job of it last night. We're going to need that tomorrow.
Joel Quenneville, head coach of the Panthers, right there talking about the game today in Buffalo. Of course, that came after practice yesterday. Also after practice yesterday, was able to catch up with Jonathan Huberdeau. Not long ago, he was named, he had some Player of the Week honors in the National Hockey League. He was named this week to his first All-Star game, so big congratulations to him. And even more congratulations to Jonathan Huberdeau as the accolades continue to roll in. The NHL's top star of the month for the month of December. Here is Jonathan Huberdeau talking about what it means to get that league-wide recognition.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, obviously, I had a really good month. Points were coming in, and it's good to get a reward. I mean, I think it's just cool, but I guess, you know, we're now I'm just thinking about the team. So I think it's just obviously it's fun to have that honor. Now it's over. Need another good month like we did.
And you talk about the team. Big response last night. Just how big was that one going into the game coming up here against Buffalo?
Yeah, it was big. I think a great second period, one of our best periods. I think we played all year. And I think we're just going to bring that and, you know, start like this in Buffalo tomorrow. And it's going to be a tough game, I think, you know. Obviously, division matchup, and it's, we need these points.
And you've seen Buffalo a couple of times this season. What's the big focus against them? I know defending against a guy like Jack Eichel is something that requires the whole team.
Yeah, see, when you play good players like that, you just got to be responsible defensively and try to get the puck as much as you can. I think that's what we're going to try to do, and obviously, you know, play good defensively, help Bob in the net.
And do you adjust your game day routine at all when you have a 1 o'clock game? Anything you do differently?
Yeah, I'm used to the, you don't know if you're eating breakfast or pasta early, so I think it's just a decision, what you need, and I think obviously it's a little different, but I guess, you know, it's kind of like it because you wake up, you go right into the game, and it's kind of fun.
Jonathan Huberdeau of the Panthers right there again this week, named to his first All-Star game, also NHL's top star of the month for the month of December. Had a huge month of December, and again, we talked about a little bit ago, but Jonathan Huberdeau over his last 14 games since December started, seven multi-point games over his last 14. So Jonathan Huberdeau has been red hot, top star of the month honors, well-deserved. Congratulations to him. As we move on now, Colton Sevier of the Panthers right here on the Panthers bounce back win in Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, not the start of the road trip we wanted there in the loss in Columbus. We wanted to respond well, and we were able to. And, you know, that second period was a bigger reason, bigger the reason why.
And you guys had a lot of guys get on the score sheet yesterday. Is it fun to have a game like that where you're getting the production, the points coming up and down the lineup like that?
Yeah, I think it's always nice. You know, our big boys are they're good for goals and points on a consistent basis. But anytime, you know, other guys that maybe don't score all the time can chip in, it's obviously a good feeling, and it kind of, you know, generally leads to wins.
And you guys, you scored that goal with about 5 seconds left in the second period. Is that a prime example of just playing to the final horn? Because it felt like even though the seconds were ticking away, you guys were on your way to getting something, and you scored there with 5 seconds to go in the frame.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you don't really, it seems like, you know, 5 seconds doesn't seem like that long, but when you're playing, it actually can be a little more time than you think. So it was one of those things, I think, we just scored, I think, right before the shift before, and we just wanted to have a good shift in their end and not, you know, give them anything going into the third, and, you know, scoring was just a bonus on top of that, I believe.
And then looking at this game against Buffalo coming up here, just the keys in this one, third time you'll have seen the Sabres this year.
Yeah, you know, it's the third time, and, you know, they've got the better of us, you know, the first two, so it's obviously a big game for us, and, you know, they're a skilled team, they play hard, and they're, you know, they're a good team, so we got to be ready to go, we got to play our game, and we got to play a full 60 minutes against them.
And you guys are used to playing the afternoon games, but do you have to adjust your personal routine at all when you have the 1 o'clock start?
For me personally, no. I mean, some guys maybe if they're very set in their routine, maybe the not full afternoon kind of is a little different, but I tend to not mind it as much. I feel like we've had a lot more this year than maybe in the past. I'm sure guys are a little more accustomed to them by now.
Colton Sevier of the Panthers right there talking about the afternoon game today. Again, 1 o'clock today in Buffalo, 12:30 will be the pregame show across the Panthers radio network, so be sure to join us for that one coming up in just a few hours' time. Last Panther we're going to hear from in this segment, Riley Stillman, picked up his first NHL point last game, so big congratulations to him. But first, he talks about what the win last game meant for the team overall.
It was huge for us. I mean, we came in second period, especially, like, we played really well as a team. We were all over them, and things worked out when we were playing the way we were, and we seemed to get timely goals when we needed them, and we just rolled with it.
Was there a point in that second period when you felt like really things turned in your favor?
Yeah, I think it was after Daddy's second goal. I think that was a big turning point for me. It was like, all right, we're here, we're rolling, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, and we just continued that the rest of the game.
And it seems like this group has the ability, once you get one or two, you feel like they really can come in bunches. Is that just a sense of confidence that the team has overall?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the first time I've been a part of a team that we can really, really score goals. So once we get rolling like that, guys start feeling themselves, the puck seems to find a way into the net, and our power play's been big for us in that sense, and it's been a great to be a part of.
And you had your first NHL point last night. How'd that feel, and how'd it feel to have really, you know, a lot of guys getting on the score sheet last night?
It was awesome. It was a big thing for me. It was the first one to get that one out of the way. Been a couple opportunities here and there that I've missed, but It was big to get that in and have the other guys get pick up points and be rolling as well as they are.
And to go into this one here against Buffalo coming up, what are the keys to keeping it rolling here against the Sabres in the front end of a back-to-back?
I think we need to play the right way. Play the way we played in the second and keep buzzing, make plays at the right time, get the puck in at the right time and score when we need. Have our guys score goals or put the puck in there when we need to, and we should have a good chance.
Riley Stillman of the Panthers right there talking about today's game, Buffalo. Again, a 1 o'clock start today. Tomorrow, the road trip wraps up 5 o'clock in Pittsburgh. And the Panthers begin a 4-game homestand Tuesday at 7 against the Arizona Coyotes. Thursday at 7, Vancouver comes to town. A 4-game road trip coming up for the Panthers again, beginning Tuesday at home against Arizona at 7 o'clock at the BB&T Center. But today at 1 o'clock, Panthers and the Sabres. Coming up next, Kevin, we will have a cut from the most recent territory talk. We'll continue previewing today's game as well, so lots to get to.
Yeah, we'll hear from Mark Pesek coming up. Also, Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com will join us. Panthers and the Sabres coming up at 1 o'clock. You're listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
The best information on the Florida Panthers is happening now. Welcome back to Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues. Kevin Rogers with you. Doug Plagan's up in Buffalo. Panthers and Sabres coming up this afternoon, a 1 o'clock faceoff, as the Panthers will take on the Sabres. Then they get Pittsburgh tomorrow at 5 o'clock to wrap up the road trip. And Doug, a special guest joining us from the latest cut of Territory Talk.
Yep, Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Panthers at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk. You can also find it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Be sure to check it out. You can find the archived episodes on there as well. And this week on Territory Talk, Jameson Olive caught up with Panthers defenseman Mark Pesek, Panthers defenseman slash forward Mark Pesek, I should say, as he has played up front and played on the back end this season, done a great job as transitioning between the two positions over the course of the year. They'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Quick reminder, the Panthers in Buffalo today at 1, the Panthers in Pittsburgh tomorrow at 5. You can catch it all across the radio network. We'll hit the air for the pregame today at 12:30 before the 1 o'clock puck drop. The Panthers will then be back home against Arizona at 7 o'clock coming up on Tuesday. But without further ado, let's get to an excerpt from this week's episode of Territory Talk. You can find the whole conversation and the whole episode at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk. But here's Jameson Olive chatting with Panthers forward and defenseman Mark Pesek right here.
All right, Mark, first, thanks so much for joining me here today. I got to ask, we're a few days here removed from Christmas. Just first Christmas as a dad for you, correct?
Yeah.
How different was that?
Yeah, it was a little bit, a lot more exciting, getting up. And she's 9 months old, so she's right on the edge of knowing how to open a gift, but we were helping her out. But it was pretty cool. She was a lot more into the gifts than we thought she would be in opening. And she went from toy to toy playing and loving it. And it was awesome.
Just how different is that, though, to have when you're, because Christmas is usually about, yourself or your significant other, something, to have finally Christmas so dedicated to someone else like that?
Yeah, it's a nice change. I mean, you get that magical feeling of Christmas back that you probably haven't had for, since you were that kid getting up, running downstairs, seeing what Santa brought you, and you just see the excitement. Like I said, it's obviously early for her. I know she doesn't understand what's going on, but everything's geared towards what she's doing and what makes her smile and laugh, and it's a lot of fun.
Has just being a dad changed how you kind of look at the world and hockey, even hockey specifically? Does it feel more like not a job in a negative way, but it's a job now it's to support this greater thing and all those things like that?
Yeah, you definitely feel some pressure now. Obviously, the family, my wife and I, that's been what I was supporting for the last few years and stuff like that. But now it's like you got to worry about this little girl needs you to eat and have clothes and
everything.
Go to school. Yeah. So there's a little bit more pressure in that sense. But I guess it is a little bit more of a job. And then when you come home, it's a lot easier to turn it off. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad game or something, you come home and you know, she's sitting in her high chair. You walk in and she gets so excited, you immediately forget about, you know, the five turnovers you had or whatever. But
is she saying anything yet?
No, just she's just starting to scream now, which is hilarious. And we trying to get her to keep going, because but she's right on the edge of walking too, so it's fun. Like, we got her something for Christmas that she could stand up, and I think she'll be walking pretty soon, which will be kind of scary, but it'll be fun.
And I think this was your fourth Christmas here in Florida, I believe. I think it's your fourth season here, so that make it your fourth Christmas. Coming from Edmonton and then Buffalo for a bit, just how much have you adjusted to these South Florida winters and Christmases?
Yeah, I don't think we're fully adjusted yet. Every time we look outside on Christmas Day, it's a little bit weird seeing no snow or anything like that. But my wife bought a little light thing that makes it look like it's snowing inside, so we did that.
Gotta pretend.
Pretend it's snowing. But yeah, we said it's definitely weird on Christmas Day, but by the time the 26th comes around, we're completely fine with it being, you know, 25 degrees and sunny and warm and still wearing shorts. I think at that point, it's fine.
Did you guys do anything with any teammates, or was it mainly just a family thing?
Hubie has a big get-together with some of his
family. I saw some Instagram photos from that. Yeah, that looked wild.
It's amazing. He does the best job ever, and I think he has a bunch of friends and family over for dinner at first, and then a bunch of the guys go over a little bit later, so we did that, and then... Yeah, just laid low on Christmas, and yeah.
Nice. And just kind of, like I said, the fourth season here, very different season for you, you know, playing multiple positions and all that. Just kind of, I know we're only, you know, a third of the way through here right now, but kind of how would you sum up, you know, this season for yourself as a whole?
Yeah, it's been different. Obviously, it didn't start out how I had envisioned it this summer. You know, came in the first game, I was scratched, first couple games scratch, and then got in a few games at defense, and then... whatever happened, I got thrown in on forward and, you know, played a few games there and started getting a little bit more comfortable there, which is definitely something I've never done in my career. I don't think in my life since
I think you would talk to the Calgary months ago and you said it was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just when you played every position all the time. But it's been a lot of fun. It's, you know, I think my sort of the knock on me the last few years is my aggressiveness and offensive assertiveness, I guess, and I think playing up front gives me a little bit more confidence with the puck and confidence in the other team's zone. And obviously, like I said, it's not how I saw it going, but I think it's been definitely beneficial for me as a player.
Do you kind of enjoy that forechecking though, that kind of just crashing into the zone?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's like I said, it's totally different. So it's a different look, and it's fun. And you know, the guys I've been playing with the last few games were Colton and Tony. Is it Dominic?
Just kidding. Dom. He said Tony's good. We had it on a couple
Tony's
episodes
good?
Ago.
Okay. Yeah, playing with them, they've been awesome and really supportive. And every face-off we go out there, I ask probably 30 questions. Oh, what happens if this happens?
It's like cramming for a test.
But, yeah, exactly. Right before it happens, and then the puck drops, completely forget what they said, and just sort of react. But it's been they've been awesome, and it's been a lot of fun.
And it's been going well. You have a couple goals. Just how exciting was it to get those goals and out of position?
Yeah, it was awesome. I got the first one in Calgary in front of my grandpa, so that was pretty cool. You know, not usually, but a few times in my career, I haven't scored my first goal of the season until well after Christmas and maybe into February and March, but it was good to get that one out of the way. And then the other one was what was the other one? I don't even remember the other one.
I don't remember either. The Calgary one's such a big one, that's how I remember.
Yeah,
that one. But there was another one, we do know. But kind of talking,
I was at home, I just banged in.
But it's kind of looking at that kind of role now. Q said you've done so well there because you still kind of think like a defenseman when you're out there for it. Really helps kind of anchor that line and be a defensive line. Do you kind of see it that way? Do you still, you know, defenseman in the back of your mind on a lot of those shifts?
I think so, yeah. And there's times definitely when I come back to the bench and I know that I wasn't as aggressive as they'd wanted me.
Is anyone telling you that, or is that coming from inside?
I think when it happens on the ice, I just go, oh yeah, should have went in. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come off the ice and, you know, either Brew or Q will come up to me and like, hey, just on that play, just go at that guy, or just, you know, and that's sort of that, I guess, hesitation of switching positions, but they've been awesome as well. There hasn't been met any negativity towards, it's all learning and teaching, which has definitely helped me.
Mark Pesek, as you heard there from the latest edition of Territory Talk with Doug Plagans and Jameson Olive. We'll talk to Jameson coming up in just a few minutes as we'll preview the Buffalo game. Sabres coming off a win over the Oilers a few nights ago, and the Panthers off their victory against Ottawa. So that is straight ahead. You're listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Talk continues. It's the Panthers Insider. All the Panthers news you need now on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues. Kevin Rogers with you as the Panthers take on the Buffalo Sabres this afternoon at 1 o'clock up in Western New York. Then they get the Penguins coming up tomorrow. And now we speak to our friend from FloridaPanthers.com, Jameson Olive, joining us. Jameson, good morning. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning. How's it going?
Things are going well. Now we have the early game, and I'm assuming, is this a Chris Drieger production today, or are we going to see Bobrovsky with Pittsburgh on deck?
We haven't found out yet, Coach. We'll be talking in about an hour, so if I had to guess, flip a coin, I'd say maybe Drieger. I'd probably say 60-40 Drieger, but we'll see there. So it's all up in the air right now for both teams, and that's kind of the big news we're waiting on right now.
I understand that, you know, we talked about it earlier, that wins are wins, but how big was that win against Ottawa on Thursday, a team that we know is more towards the bottom of the Atlantic, that's not going to be a playoff team this season after losing to Columbus on Tuesday, just to get that one and get the 2 points?
Well, yeah, like we said a million times, you got to take advantage of those games against the Detroits, against the Ottawas, against, you know, those teams near the bottom of the standings, because you can't always put yourself in a position where you suddenly have to beat the Penguins every time, or you know, beat the Sabres, beat the Hurricanes, beat all those good teams every time out. So you got to take advantage. You got to take care of business. The Panthers did that. Another incredible second period. You know, they have 60 goals right now in the second period, the most in hockey. That's kind of their best 20 minutes now. Seems to be right in the middle frame. So that was as close to a must-win game as you can get at this.
And the Panthers now with 47 points. They are four back of Toronto for second place. Tampa Bay, of course, they were going to wake up from the dead soon as they've won five in a row, and the Lightning now pulled in front of the Panthers. They're up one in third place. Now you got Buffalo today. Buffalo with 43 points. Jack Eichel scored that game winner on the penalty shot against Edmonton on Thursday. Panthers have not had a lot of luck with the Sabres this year, losing both times. So going to today, you would think this would be a focused team, not looking ahead to what's coming up for the Panthers.
No, not at all. Now that it's, you know, a 1 o'clock start, change from a 7 o'clock start, they don't really have time to look ahead. They're going to wake up this morning, get to the rink, and just start playing, which is what some of the guys talked about at yesterday's practice, how you really don't have time to think. You roll out of bed and get right on the ice, which I think should benefit the Panthers tonight. And you kind of look at the X factors. We talked about goaltenders. We don't know who's going yet for either team. But if Linus Ullmark starts for the Sabres, that's been the thorn on the Panthers' side this season. He's popped 84 of 88 shots in those two wins, like you mentioned, against the Panthers so far. So if he's in net, they're going to have to find a way to, you know, shake that, you know, buck that trend and, you know, find a way to get some pucks past him. Because as good as the Panthers' offense has been all season, let's not forget, you know, they have the third best offense in the league. For some reason, Linus Ullmark in those two starts has just been really good against them.
There's been some lulls in these recent games, Jameson. They gave up three straight goals to Detroit, three straight goals to Montreal, didn't play great against Columbus, and gave up the back-to-back goals to Ottawa in Thursday's game. Is that a bit of a concern where the Panthers are having these stretches where these other teams are just dominating?
I think it's a concern for all teams in the league. Joe Quenneville talks all the time, the hardest thing for any team to do is be consistent. And teams always like to use the term a full 60, you know, talk about playing a good 60 minutes. I don't think any team in the league can play, you know, a full great 60 minutes. It's basically just making sure that if you play a good, you know, 50 minutes, make sure those 10 minutes are maybe a little bit off your game. The other team's kind of taking it to you, that you're not, you know, just completely letting the game fall out of your hands. So for the Panthers, we've talked about it dating back, you know, multiple seasons here, where it seems like they can be the better team for 50 minutes, but then the 5 or 10 minutes that they're not at their best, the other team just completely takes advantage of it. So there's going to be ebbs and flows, up and downs during, you know, every game that you're playing in the National Hockey League. It's just about managing that and limiting the damage as best as you can. So for the Panthers, like I said, there's been some games where they've done a great job of that, some games where they let it get away a little bit. So I think that's, you know, moving forward, the greatest challenge is just finding that consistency.
I know we don't like the looking ahead factor, one game at a time, all that other stuff, but looking ahead, the next four games after, with that being said, after the next four games, Jameson, at Pittsburgh tomorrow, Arizona, now with Taylor Hall. Vancouver's won six straight. Toronto has caught fire. I mean, this is a brutal week coming up.
It's a tough week, but at least they're at home. I know a lot of the guys are going to like that. Like you said, Arizona, Vancouver, Toronto, and then kind of a breather against Los Angeles. The Baileys play the Panthers pretty tough. So it's a tough road ahead. That makes these next two games just that much bigger. Let's not forget the Sabres without Victor Olofsson, without Jeff Skinner. They're a bit banged up. The Penguins right now still don't have Sidney Crosby. They don't have Jake Wenzel. So they're playing two pretty good teams with two banged up teams where I think they have to take advantage and get those 4 points going into a tough week. And you mentioned the standings earlier. Let's not forget the Panthers. It seemed like, you know, the wild card was going to belong to both Metro teams for a while, but now they're just 2 points behind the Flyers for the second wild card spot. So they'd like to get a top three spot in the Atlantic, but the wild card is now also wide open. But I think the biggest thing for this week, you know, moving ahead, like you said, it's going to be a huge test for goaltending and the defense. You know, Arizona, like you said, just got Taylor Hall. Vancouver has a great young offense. Toronto, one of the best offenses in the league. So the defense is really going to be put to the test this week, and I think it's going to be a really potential turning point for them in this season.
Jameson Isle of FloridaPanthers.com, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you for After 40, as we'll hear from you after the second period of the Panthers-Sabres game today. Thank you.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
All right, there's... Turn my own mic off. There's Jameson Olive right there as the Panthers get set for the Buffalo Sabres coming up at 1 o'clock today. And we wrap up another edition of Panthers Insider right here. Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres. Don't forget that Panther preview starts at 12:30 this afternoon and then a 1 o'clock faceoff in Buffalo. Doug Plagans has the call. We'll see if it's Chris Drieger or Sergei Bobrovsky in net this afternoon. Then the Panthers going to Pittsburgh tomorrow to take on the Penguins. 53 points, tied for second place in the Metro Division. And then returning home on Tuesday to welcome in the Arizona Coyotes, who are surging. They have 50 points. Vancouver has 48, and the Canucks will be here Thursday. Then Toronto next Sunday. So really a lot of huge games for the Panthers coming up over the next week. I know we say they're all big, but especially over the next 7 days. And then the Panthers will have the All-Star break coming up later this month. So the Panthers with a lot of opportunities here to really help themselves for the playoff run coming up. Once again, our thanks to Doug Plagans, also for Jameson Olive, as well as Mark Pesek joined us as well. I am Kevin Rogers. We will talk to you again soon. Panthers and the Sabres at 1 o'clock today. You've been listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.